You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Do you love the Tabernacle Choir? This year, the choir's music is everywhere you are. Listen to your favorite choir songs and music and the spoken word anytime you want on Alexa by simply enabling the skill.
Alexa, play the Tabernacle Choir.
Now playing the Tabernacle Choir.
You can also download the Tabernacle Choir app, subscribe to the choir on YouTube, listen on Spotify, and have access to all their wonderful music. Happy listening.
Radio check.
Loud and clear.
KSL Sports and KSL Podcast present Mode Push, an American view of F1, starting now.
And I'm stuck. He's Ricky Cut with his Odyssey.
I'm gutted. I'm absolutely gutted.
I enjoyed this so much. Thank you.
Everybody, welcome on in. It's another edition of Mode Push, an American view of F1. Alex Keery, your host. Our other host, Dan Jimenez, every week right here, courtesy of KSL Sports and KSL Podcasts. Dan, welcome to the show, man. I'm glad to... Hold on, let me get this music turned down, and then we'll be able to do this officially. Welcome to the program, Dan. Good to see you again.
Good to see you, too.
Now, you and I have been playing with our AI models. And we're going to bring those back in. We're going to bring those into the show. I feel like our listeners should not be denied the same info that we were given by AI this afternoon about the world of F1 and other things that are also just as important. So welcome to Race Week, by the way. It was the longest freaking desert of a wait, wasn't it? That was like the longest wait ever.
We made it. That felt way longer than the summer break in August. But, yeah, we are 48 hours away from cars on track.
That's a good way to look at it. Just, like, go your life based off of the amount of time that you're going to be able to wait until you actually get to good racing, which, by the way, there's going to be a lot this weekend, right? Will you please, yeah, right off the bat, explain to everybody who's listening what the heck the sprint race or stuff is going to be this weekend and what has changed versus what we've seen in the past, because we've seen sprint races. But the drivers and teams have now decided on something wholly different. Explain what we're going to be watching this weekend and why it might be better.
Yeah. So just as a reminder of what sprint races have been, they've been in an attempt to make Saturdays more exciting. And the sprint race format we've had is that qualifying gets pushed up to Friday instead of Saturday. And the qualifying sets the starting grid for a sprint race, which is only 20 laps long, on Saturday. And then where you finish in the sprint race on Saturday is where you start the race on Sunday. And the thought behind that is, you know, bringing some excitement. There's points. The top eight finishers in the sprint race get points. So first gets 8, second gets 7, and so on. But the problem has been that the team just play it conservatively because there's just so much risk in that sprint race that could ruin your chances or ruin your starting spot on Sunday. So people just play it really conservatively, and it's a little bit of just like a parade, right? So the drivers and the teams went to Formula One management, and they all got together and said, hey, we need to change how this is done. And what they asked for and what F1 granted was that the sprint race is just wholly contained. So Saturday is a qualifying session and a sprint race all just for Saturday and has no effect on Sunday. So they will practice on Friday morning, and then they'll go straight into qualifying. So only one practice session now, which we can come back to the pros and cons of that. But only one practice session on Friday, then you're qualifying on Friday, and that is for the Sunday race still. And then on Saturday, we wake up, and you qualify again in a shorter qualifying format, and that then leads straight in, and that's for the sprint race. Then you lead straight into a 20-lap sprint race. Top eight get points, and then on Sunday, we start the race depending on how you qualified in the normal qualifying session on Friday. So I think it's weird to new fans. It's not totally different than what other lower level series have done or like to do. It's not uncommon to have a mini race before the big race that are just kind of two separate events. But it's new to Formula One. So I think the goal for Formula One is to get more viewers throughout Friday and Saturday. And I think the goal for the teams is to, okay, great. If we're going to put on a show on Friday and Saturday, or at least on Saturday, we don't want that to directly affect our chances on Sunday. I think the downside is like the people will be more aggressive on Saturday, and then you could have teams that don't have a ton of budget to be able to wreck cars, like at risk of wrecking cars.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that the benefit, I guess, would be also for the viewer. I see there's a little bit of a drawback too for people who are maybe new F1 fans, because it'll be a confusing weekend, right? I mean, like, you'll go,
yeah,
so what's actually important here? And in other race weekends that have been, you know, the traditional race weekends, it's been, hey, here's your qualifying. This sprint race is kind of fun here in the middle. That's great. But like, to have the race qualifying is Friday. Your sprint race is going to be Saturday, right? I mean, after just like a fake little qualifying session that's going to be like a fake F2 session. I think the benefit of all this is going to be that we're not going to get just those throwaway free practices, right? I guess, can teams find out as much about their car that they want to in these setups? Or are they just going to have to adjust and figure out how to do it with, you know, these formats? And by the way, this isn't going to be every race weekend either. It's only going to be, you know, a set number of some that aren't like that, right?
It's going to be all the sprints for the rest of the year. So I think there's 6 sprint races this season. So all 6 will be this format. At least that's what they've said.
Right.
But yeah, I think, you know, there's less practice. There's now, you know, one real practice session instead of 2. But the teams will still learn during the race on Sunday, and arguably they'll learn more from that sprint race than they would from just 2 free practice sessions, right, on Saturday, yeah, or 1 really, and then 1 on Friday. So they'll still learn a ton. So I think it's kind of a toss-up on whether, like, is it going to make the racing on Sunday better or worse? We'll see. But I think it'll make Saturday more exciting, because hopefully drivers and teams take more risks. And, you know, they could choose to try an out there idea on their setup or their approach for Saturday, because the stakes are lower, to at the chance to try and learn something that they could, you know, gain and implement for Sunday. So we might see the Red Bulls, because I mean, like, make no mistake, like, Red Bull wants those 8 points, like the 8 points of the, over the 6 sprint races, 40 some odd points, like that will add up over the season. Sure. So it's not like they don't want points then, but they might be willing to take more risks to try something new on Saturday that might lead to, you know, a non-traditional winner, or like a unexpected winner on Saturday.
Yeah, I'm interested to see kind of who's set up for, you know, what'll be lame is when you have a 1-2 qualifier from Red Bull on Friday, you have them go 1-2 in the sprint race, and then they go 1-2 in the race on Sunday, and you go, what are we even doing here? I can't imagine. I think that the odds are pretty low on that, just because of how much racing is actually going to be done. But it is, there's laps that make more of a difference now, and it's more interesting to watch, I think, from that sense. And you might have teams who perform better in that shorter stint, and because I don't even think they don't change tires even, right? In the sprint race, they just go those 100 kilometers and that's it.
No, they don't have to. I think the reason they did that, yeah, like the 20 laps or whatever, is to not have to change tires or anything. And so I think they could, if there were a safety car or something, I believe they can come in and change. So, it's really just going to be about all out speed. And I just feel like if it's not going to determine the start for Sunday, then anybody who's like 10th or lower is just riding around, really. Like, what's the point? You know, if you're not going to get points and it's not going to determine where you start on Sunday, like, are people just going to park their cars early? Like, so the back half of the field, I don't imagine anything exciting happening, but the top 8, hopefully those guys will jockey for position. We'll see.
So I want to do something, this is our very first go at something fun here, okay? Normally we talk very straightforward. We don't have any fun on the show, okay? That's kind of our rule normally. But we're going to have some fun this week with the...
Fun is underrated, right?
Fun is underrated. And I will say, look, I don't know. I've got to dive into. I've spent way too much money over the last 3 days on AI chat generators and on my phone. Partly because we're kind of experimenting with some stuff at work, and I thought, okay, I'll do this on my work dime, and then we'll play with it on our F1 podcast as well, and we'll kind of figure it out. So there's a new segment that we're doing, Dan. It's called AI F1. Okay, so here we are, just four letters, AI F1. And admittedly, these chat, now listen, I'm in the news business, I guess, but I have never met somebody who was so averse to being trying to be honest with you than, you know, those reporters when you go, tell me who you really think is going to win the Super Bowl. Well, you know, I can't speculate on that. When we have Jazz Brass on the air with us and we go, hey, what happened with this? And they'll go, I can't really talk about that right now. That's always fun for me. But I thought that the computer would be a little bit more, that they'd be a little bit more open. So let's have our first go here. I've asked a couple questions, so I'm going to have her answer for me. The first one is, who are the best F1 drivers of all time? Just a simple one to start off with. No controversy, right? She gave me 10. I say she because this is what her voice sounds like. And, of course, she gives you the thing at the very beginning, what's like a disclaimer. So here, take a listen to what her ranking was. Now, I will also say, she says the number after their name, and it's actually the number of the person who's next. So if that makes sense. So here's your list. According to ChatGPT, the most or the best F1 drivers of all time. Here we go.
As an AI language model, I don't have personal opinions or beliefs.
Come on.
However, here's a list of some of the best F1 drivers of all time, in no particular order.
Okay.
1. Michael Schumacher. 2. Ayrton Senna. 3. Juan Manuel Fangio. 4. Jim Clark. 5. Alain Prost. 6. Niki Lauda. 7. Lewis Hamilton. 8.
Oh.
Jackie Stewart. 9. Sebastian Vettel. 10. Nelson Piquet.
Nelson Piquet, number 10?
No, right, when so Lewis Hamilton's 8, then we know we've got a long ways to go. The robots are not taking over anytime
soon.
Well,
I love how she's all, in no particular order, number 1, Michael Schumacher. Like, she has her own views on it. I know, she's like, and then she goes with Ayrton Senna, number 2, which, you know, that's a controversy in itself. But you got a lot of people who would say absolutely. Like in terms of a pure racer, sure, best, you know. But, mm-hmm. Yeah, to put Lewis Hamilton at that 8 spot, right?
That's like when they pranked Shaq on Inside the NBA when they told the best centers of all time and yeah. They put him at like 10th or something.
or when Will Ferrell got up at the ESPYs and goes, hey, there's Tiger Woods. Hey, arguably the 4th or 5th best black golfer today. And he started dying because, obviously, come on. I mean, geez. Max Verstappen to be found on the top list of all time, by the way.
No, and I think that like these models, like they train on data that isn't exactly totally up to date. And so it might be looking at a version of the internet before Max ever won a championship.
Okay. Well, how about this then? Why did Mercedes lose the F1 2021 constructors title? Okay.
Oh, okay.
So she's got an explanation here. I don't know. You tell me if it's accurate.
Mercedes lost the 2021 constructors title in F1 due to a combination of factors, such as the strong performance of Red Bull Racing and their driver Max Verstappen, reliability issues with the Mercedes cars, and strategic errors made by the team during the season. Additionally, Mercedes faced challenges in adapting to the new regulations introduced for the 2021 season, which favored teams with a more efficient aerodynamic design.
Look at that.
Despite these setbacks, Mercedes still managed to finish 2nd in the constructors' standings, demonstrating their competitive spirit and fighting spirit.
I feel like Toto's like, please put in there that we're also competitive. Like there's, please tell them also we are very hard.
That wasn't too bad. I might be out of a job. It's just gonna be Alex and Siri and show.
This ChatGPT. Okay, now I do have one final one, and that is, I just wanted a straightforward answer. And so I'm going to ask this one. What is Ferrari's problem this year in F1?
As an AI language model, I do not have up-to-date information on the current F1 season. However, Ferrari's problems in the past have included issues with their car's aerodynamics, engine performance, and tire management.
Mm-hmm.
They have also faced challenges with their drivers' performances and team strategy.
Well, I'll tell you what, ChatGPT, it hasn't changed this year either. I don't have access, but let me just take a shot in the dark. Bad team management.
Tire management.
Tire management, Driver error, bad arrow. Like, just, you know what? She knows, like, look, if I say these five things, that's usually what makes it to where a team is not successful. So there you go.
See, you asked relevant questions. I was asking ChatGPT to plan a date between Taylor Swift and Fernando Alonso.
See, I tried to ask that. I wanted to know.
And it gave me that they would have a romantic dinner, attend a music festival, and go go-karting. So, I mean,
of course they would.
I mean, Taylor, Fernando, if you're listening, those are just a few ideas.
What do you call him? Tay Fern? What do you? By the way,
Furler? I have no idea.
Furwift? I will say she's definitely a head taller than Fernando Alonso. That will be awkward. Mm-hmm. Although I don't feel like a guy like Fernando Alonso worries about the height of the ladies that are around him. He almost almost prefers them to be taller.
Yeah, every picture I've seen him with grid girls, he's always
grid girls.
Know, the shortest.
That's good. You know what? We missed on that one. We could have named our podcast Grid Girls.
The Grid Girls.
And then people be just wholly disappointed when they turn this thing on and listen in. Okay, the Azerbaijan Grand Prix, Dan, as we move into relevant content again. You have this weekend teams that are – I mean, you've had some time off, and now when they're, you brought up the summer break and how long this has felt. This feels like the summer break, except for teams can actually work on all their, they're working. During the summer break, they got to lock the doors on the factories and they have to shut it down. This has been a couple or 3.5 weeks of these teams working their butts off to try to figure out a couple things. When they talk about bringing updates and upgrades to the racetrack, is this a good place? Is Baku a place where you want to bring updates? Are we going to see some teams make a couple of steps forward? Can you make that big of a jump in those 3 weeks while they were hanging out?
I certainly think so, that everyone will bring updates to this race. And I think that this is an interesting point in the season to have a break like this, because three races in and a winter testing session, or preseason testing session, you learn a lot during that period that you would love to implement. You just kind of need the time in between races that you don't really get until August. So I think we'll see a lot of gains from different teams. We'll see if Red Bull, what else do they have in the bag, if they're able to maintain that delta to the other teams, or if everybody else closes the gap. But, Baku is a street circuit that's pretty unique because a lot of the lap is really slow with, like, tight 90-degree corners, and there's, like, the tower thing that they drive by. But then on the front stretch is, like, a super long front stretch. It might be the longest stretch in F1. So there's a really high-speed section combined with, like, most of the lap being really slow. That high-speed section is under DRS, and so ideally your wing is open on that point of the lap. So we'll expect cars to bring a high-load rear wing, so big, fat rear wing to get the downforce help. To get the most of the help through the slow parts of the track, and then open up the DRS for the straight-line stuff. So I think it's a good, diverse track that will show – or that gives opportunity for people to pick up gains in a bunch of different areas. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Mercedes is talking a lot, I'm just reading a lot of quotes from Mercedes about, like, them bringing a lot of changes now that they've totally ditched their old design philosophy or performance philosophy, and they're going with a new one. So, from what I've read, zero side pods is probably going to be around for a while, because that just takes longer to develop.
Sure.
I know we've talked about the Lewis not loving the seat position being so far forward. I think that's probably not changing until 2024. But everything else, I think, could come a lot quicker.
Is there anything that indicates that this is not going to be Red Bull being the team that is going to be far and above everybody else? Was there anything from the last races that gave you an idea that maybe Mercedes will be more competitive? I think they maybe even shocked themselves, like, with how competitive they were. But I'm also a little bit, like, worried that this thing is just going to be a long, boring weekend of Red Bull just taking everything.
The Mercedes definitely showed gains at Australia. And, I mean, they were 1-2 there for a second before the first red flag. I still think Max would have gotten around them with the pace that he showed, but I think they're closing the gap. And I think Baku or Azerbaijan just has a high probability for chaos. You know, we've seen Max crash. We've seen Lewis crash over the last couple of years. Charles blew an engine, I think, leading last year. So I think with that kind of high beta of what the outcomes could be from history, like I think there's definitely potential there to see somebody other than Red Bull at the top, or maybe even Sergio. I think the most interesting fight right now is Sergio versus Max, because I think he's knocking on the door there, that if Max isn't perfect, then Sergio could step in and take that first place in the standings.
Philosophical racing / engineering question here, because I was reading this week that Michelin's CEO was like, dude, we would create tires for F1 instead of Pirelli all day long. The problem is that they want them to create tires that are degrading, that are, as he put it, destroying themselves. He's like, we have no idea how to make tires that destroy themselves for the sake of entertainment. And F1 wants entertainment. He said straight up, like, hey, F1 wants entertainment. And part of that entertainment, and it was hard, it was kind of a hard pill for me to swallow. I go, oh, shoot. Another variable that just is thrown in there for the sake of competition, it doesn't really actually show if somebody's a great racer or not, is the tire deg thing. Or maybe you're one of those guys that go, oh, he's the tire whisperer. Where do you land on whether or not, wouldn't it just be better to have tires that just did not, you could just put a set of tires on and just see how these guys freaking race throughout?
I think it is impossible to create a tire that doesn't degrade or lose performance over the course of a race. If they created a tire that was so hard that it could last the entire race, I think the racing would be extremely boring. I think when we think back to like, oh, the good old days of racing, or the series that I think, you know, are really exciting with lots of passing, it's because you create those discrepancies, and that's part of being a great driver, is being able to manage those tires and get as much out of them as you can throughout the race. So if anything, I'd want to see tires degrade more, not less, to have more exciting racing. I think where Michelin's coming from is like, they had a stint of really bad PR back in like the mid 2000s when they were in the sport. And they had like exploding tires and stuff that, like, they don't want that, I think, corporate risk of their brand being associated with like, oh, well, you know, Max blew a tire and he went into the wall. You know, for a long time, we've had just a single tire provider, but for the majority of F1's history, they had multiple tire providers. And right, you had the USGP at Indianapolis in 2004.
Firestone, 2005
Firestone, when they had their issues of, you know, the teams that were running Firestone didn't trust the tire going through that high load last corner, the Indy corner. And so they didn't even start the race, and you had like six or eight cars start the race.
Wow.
It was weird. I remember watching that, and just, that was like the craziest thing. So I think it would be cool to have multiple tire manufacturers again, instead of just one, because I think it creates another element of competition, and variability. But I don't know. I don't love the Michelin CEO's answer. I feel like that's a non-answer of him saying we're just never going to be in the sport.
We're too good, man. We just, all we do is make tires that don't degrade ever. So we're fine. I think about anything that makes it to where more variables to me that don't have to do with the actual racing is tough. Like, I don't know. I don't know what the equivalent would be in the other sports that we watch, Dan. I mean, it's just like, there was a problem with the NBA basketball at the beginning of this year or the beginning of last year. When did they get the new, when they took on Spalding or whatever it was, and the players are like, I freaking hate this ball, dude. And like, you can't have the players hate the equipment that they're using, or, in F1's case, if it's not a safe tire, like, there's no freaking way these guys are going to race together with it. So there's that to consider as well. And I'm always just like wondering what on earth, the future of what, because they do, and they even require tire changes, right? Don't you have to have at least one pit stop with a tire change at some point?
You have to use at least two different types of tires during the race, like a soft and a hard. But like, as I think back to like the best finishes of, you know, Formula One or NASCAR that I can remember, where they're trading places in the final laps, it's because like both cars are on really old tires, and like the handling is terrible, and these drivers are just passing each other back and forth. Who can find the most grip? It's kind of similar to when it rains, like when it's wet on the track, you see lots of back and forth because the drivers are just trying to search for that grip wherever they can find it. And I think it results in more exciting racing, personally. So, yeah.
Good thing about Baku, I will say this. this is a race that has not had the same winner ever. So in 2016, like from year to year. So in 2016, you've had guys who, but you haven't had somebody repeat, you know, like you think about this sport that, yeah. So Nico Rosberg back in 2016, 2017, Daniel Ricciardo, 2018, Lewis Hamilton, 2019, Valtteri Bottas, 2021, Sergio Perez, and then 2022, Max Verstappen. So could Max be one who goes back to back for the first time on this track? Because Baku, at least we can say, has been competitive enough that it's given us a different winner every year for the past now six seasons. So hopefully a seventh year in a row of maybe a new winner. That'd be kind of fun. So give me real quick before we get out, give me a surprise point winner for you this weekend and give me a podium.
I am going to say that McLaren makes great gains and surprises us in the points. And the podium, I'm going to go Sergio because he's so good at the street. And then Sergio, Max, Lewis.
Okay. I'm going to stick with something that is seeming to have been just the thing now. And that is, because I think it's happened all three races, I'm going to put Fernando Alonso on the podium, but he's actually going to get second place, brother. So he's going up. He's going to be upgraded from second to third. You're going to have him split the two Red Bulls. It's going to be Max on top, and it's going to be Sergio in third. And between the two, there's going to be some weird thing where Checo blows something just a little bit, just enough to let the champ, the two-time world champion. And you're going to have one Max, two Fernando, three Checo. There you go. And surprise point winner for me, I'm going to say Zhou Guanyu gets himself in the points this weekend. So I'm going to say a guy who I kind of have liked his – like him and Yuki have both – like their teams have said, you better freaking step it up. And they kind of have. I think that they kind of have. I think that you're going to see a lot of pressure on Kevin Magnussen this week too. This is a guy who has been outperformed all year by his teammate, and I was not expecting that because he had a really good year jumping back into the sport last year. And Gunther Steiner actually said it this week for the Haas team. He said, look, the pressure is on Kevin, and he better figure it out.
Yeah, his contract runs through the end of 2023, so he's on a contract year. And like you said, the trend so far is I don't think that Haas would renew his contract, especially when you have Daniel Ricciardo sitting on the sidelines, even though Danny Rick hasn't showed any interest in Haas. But, he's got to step it up.
Okay. What about the – I mean, do we make any predictions on the? Does that affect us at all? The fantasy stuff on you know with the sprint races or any of that?
That is a good question. I haven't looked into that. I imagine so that they'll count that. You'd have to think so.
I mean, just
overall points.
Sure, and then you know what's sad is neither of us even mentioned Ferrari. What's Ferrari's deal going into this race?
Oh, man. Oh, I don't know. Rumors of Charles talking to Mercedes. That's what I keep hearing. But I think that only happens if Lewis retires, right? I don't think Lewis is swapping to any other team. He either retires or stays at Mercedes. So if Lewis is going to finish, even though he says he has more years in him, then Charles is probably the most likely candidate to replace Lewis over there. So Ferrari has got to step it up. Oh yeah, the news that there was the sporting director from Ferrari is taking over the team principal role at the end of the year at AlphaTauri, and Franz Tost is out.
Yeah, I think that I'd heard that Franz Tost was kind of. They were like, "Hey, I know that Helmut Marko looks like he's 100 years old, but you really are 100 years old, so we're gonna have to push you out." They were like, basically trying to be nice to him about saying, "Yeah, we've kind of hit the edge of your." Of your performance here, and AlphaTauri, of course, they're expecting a lot out of them. They're waiting for them to screw it up so they can shut it down. So, Dan, there it is, our Azerbaijan preview and our first go at AI and F1 to try to predict the weekend here for us. I didn't learn any more about the race by going to our AI friend, so I think you're still good on a job.
Okay.
There. So there you go.
Great.
So for Dan, I'm Alex. For the folks at KSL Sports, KSL Podcast, thank them. Also, you can send us emails, danjimenez@gmail.com, AlexKiry, AlexKirry@gmail.com. subscribe, download, tell a friend about F1. And also, you can comment on the podcast as well. We'd love it. Or comment on those and give us a nice rating there. All right. We'll see you next time, everybody. We'll break down Azerbaijan next time you hear our voices.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.